Foreword by the Director General of the Security Service. I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to write a foreword for Christopher Andrews' Authorized History of the Security Service. Stephen Lander, Director General of the Service between 1996 and 2002, recognized that a history of the Security Service would be an appropriate way to mark our centenary in 2009, and he began the project of which this book is the outcome. Both his successor, Eliza Manningham Buller, and I have been closely involved in its development. We decided very early on that to generate the public understanding and support that is vital to the service's continued success, we needed to commission an open history for publication rather than a closed one for internal consumption. It was also important for the book to be written by an independent historian who could make objective judgments on the successes and failures of the service in its first 100 years. We've been fortunate in having in Professor Christopher Andrew an author with an exceptional understanding of the intelligence world, a great capacity to research and identify key material from the very large volumes available in our files, and the confidence to draw his own conclusions. I would like to thank him for the professionalism and dedication he has shown throughout the project. The Security Service is, of course, an organization much of whose work must remain secret. This is to protect those who share information with us and ensure that they and others will have the confidence to do so in the future, and to prevent those who seek to harm this country and its people from gaining information which might help them carry out their plans. Writing a history for publication which covers the work of the service up to the present day is therefore a considerable challenge, and one which I do not believe that any other major intelligence or security service anywhere in the world has attempted. But for me and for the previous DGs who have been involved in this project, it is a challenge worth attempting. The Security Service of 2009 is a much more open organization than that of 1909 or even 1980, when I first applied to join. This reflects the expectations of society at large that public institutions should be properly accountable. It also reflects the changing nature of the threats we face. For much of the first 80 years of its existence, the Security Service was concerned with various forms of foreign state espionage. This was and remains a vital area of our work, but in the last 20 years, terrorism has become the most significant threat with which we deal. The direct impact of terrorism on the life of the average resident of the UK is much greater than that of espionage or some of the other threats with which the service has dealt. It is therefore important that we as a service are as open and transparent as possible, within the constraints of what the law allows, because that openness, by supporting public confidence in us, helps us do our job of protecting national security. In the last 20 years, we have begun publicly to acknowledge the identity of the Director General of the service. We have moved to a system of recruitment of staff through open advertising. We've established a public website, and we have instituted a program of releasing some of our older records to the National Archives. These and other developments are a reflection of a commitment to being as open as we can about what we do, of which this history is the most recent and in many ways the most ambitious demonstration. Striking the balance in the text between openness and the protection of national security has been a complex and demanding exercise, requiring many hours of detailed discussion between Professor Andrew and members of the service, and an extensive clearance process involving other departments and agencies. The history as published includes some information that is embarrassing or uncomfortable to the service. Information has only been omitted if its disclosure would damage national security, or in a small number of cases, if its publication would be inappropriate for wider public interest reasons. Inevitably, more material damaging to national security has been omitted from the more modern parts of the book. Given the sensitivity of the judgments concerning omissions on national security grounds, the principles which have governed our approach to the text are given in some detail on the service's website at www.mi5.gov.uk/output/century-history-policy-on-disclosure.html. In particular, we've ensured that everything included in the text is